Welcome back to your power station. It is Energy 100 FM. You're still with Nishan, and we're talking to the editor of The Economist, Mr. Daniel Steinmann. He's also, of course, an economic analyst, or you can call him a commentator if you'd like. Let's quickly talk about The Economist more in detail. You mentioned that you've been part of the publication for many years, and you only went digital. A couple of years ago, I think almost five
end
years
of 2016
ago. So how has it changed? Because you did also mention that you used to do the traditional way, and now you've moved digital. How has the transformation been since then, between
Sean,
the two eras?
Very interesting.
Yeah,
in a sense it has changed 180 degrees.
Yes.
Very, very dramatically, substantially.
Yes.
And in a sense, it is still the old Economist. If you go to economist.com.na and you open it up there on your PC screen, the look and the feel is still the newspaper Economist. And then people ask me, but it looks so similar to what we used to on paper. And then I would always point out to them, whether you publish on a piece of glass or whether you publish on a piece of paper, it's irrelevant.
Yes.
What is relevant in the modern information age is, who do you reach? Where does your message go?
Yes.
And that is very important. And if you go to economist.com.na, you will see that there are 27 different categories on the homepage.
Yeah.
And you can go into any one of them for everything that has been published by The Economist for the past 18 years is now in The Economist every day. Plus all the new stuff that we put there every day. So it's sometimes difficult for people to get their minds around this whole thing, that just by going in there, either on my telephone or on my PC,
yes,
I see today's stuff, the latest news, and because there are 27 different news categories, it's not just economics, you know. You don't want to go because of it. It's a very broad spectrum of news coverage,
okay,
but with a very perceptible, very strong bias for business, finances, and economics.
Okay.
But there's a little bit in there about community, and there's after hours, and there's technology, and there's all sorts of stuff that you would not think directly relates to the economy. But remember, everybody, all of us that work there, we are also just people.
Yes.
You know, we also go out at night.
Yes.
We also enjoy a bit of scandal.
That's right.
I mean, Namibia has produced enough scandal in the last 2 years.
Yeah.
So we cater for the businessman and for the economist.
Yeah.
The professional economist, but in a holistic way.
Okay.
We provide information that he needs, or that he or she wants to read and wants to know. Mm-hmm. But we realize that we are all human beings. Every one of us is a person that goes home at night and that wants to have a good time. You know, so we cater for that as well.
Let's now get into some of the stories that you published as The Economist. There are a lot of stories going around, obviously. I don't think that the market or the economy is anything that goes to sleep. So share with us some of the stories that are currently trending right now, and what your take is on them as an economic analyzer.
What I specifically want to avoid is just to rehash a whole bunch of old information on COVID and on pandemics and I think we are knocked out on COVID stuff, you know.
Yes.
I tend to switch off if I get bombarded by all this negative COVID stuff. So we are very aware of the need to anticipate the turn in the economy and to focus on positive elements.
Yeah.
But for this week, I specifically want to focus on something else, and it is not that positive, but I'll come back to it a little bit later, why it should be. And what I'm talking about my lead article of a week ago,
mm-hmm.
where I wrote about the number of open manholes in the city of Windhoek. Now, this is atrocious. You don't notice all the open manholes if you just drive around.
That's right.
If you drive to the supermarket or take the kids to school or you drive to work or back to your home in the evening, you don't see it because you're driving. You need to be on foot. By the way, I was very sick with COVID at the end of May, first week of June.
Oh, wow. Same here, actually. The same period.
I was sick. I was sick as a dog. But I didn't go to hospital. I refused.
Why is that?
I took care of myself.
Yeah.
And I stayed at home for 2 weeks and I doctored myself. Although I went to see my doctor and he gave me some stuff which I diligently used. The antibiotics and the whatever other
immune boosters stuff. And all that.
Yeah. So I used the prescribed medicine, but for a long time after that, for a good 6 weeks, right up to the second half of July, I wasn't well. I was post-COVID, but I could feel it in my chest. If it was a slightly colder morning, it was in my chest. I could feel it. So what I did is I started walking over lunchtime. When everybody else is going to Debonairs for a pizza. So I started walking. And as my health improved, as I walked further and further, and I became fit to a certain extent. For instance, the day before yesterday, I walked from my office, which is not far from here, from the Energy Studios. So let's say from my office, more or less where BDO is.
Yeah.
To the new Home Affairs building.
Oh, wow. That's in Windhoek North.
That is beyond Windhoek North.
Yeah.
it's more than 3 kilometers.
Yeah.
So I walked from my office to that building and from there back to my office.
Okay.
Now, if you consider my age, you have to be fairly fit to be able to do that. But now, this is the nice thing. This is what I'm actually talking about. I don't follow the same route every day. I walk all over the city, all different parts. I would go to walk up to the showgrounds or to the Tintin Palace or wherever, up to the Western Bypass and back. And it's far. But it's when you walk on foot in Windhoek, it's where you see in what a terrible state general infrastructure is.
Yes.
The stuff that you basically do not notice when you're driving.
When you're in a car,
yeah. But when you're on foot, you see it painfully in your face almost. And so what I've been noticing, in the beginning I thought, man, maybe this is just an overreaction on your side,
or
you're just sensitive to this stuff. Then I started noticing, no. All over the central business district and the area surrounding the city, there are open manholes. And I wrote an article about it. And there are 2 open manholes in Mandumi de Mufayu, at that exit of the municipal parking garage next to Saimot. And you must go check it out. There's actually a picture of these 2 open manholes. They're not very deep, about 900 millimeter, less than 1 meter. But there's all sorts of rubbish in there, including a dead cat.
Oh, wow.
And that dead cat has been in there for the past 3 weeks.
And I can imagine the smell.
It is terrible. Now, and the reason why I wrote it is because last week in South Africa, there was a court case came to conclusion that lingered on for 7 years. And this was about a toddler drowning in a pit toilet. And that wasn't an isolated case. Toddlers or very young children drowning in pit toilets is fairly regular in South Africa. And then I started reading about the stuff here in Namibia, and I came across an article in the Namibian in 2017. It has happened in Namibia as well.
Yes, it has.
You know, and the people try and make it sound nice and sort of toddler drowns in pit latrine. Wow. That means it is a little boy that fell into that hole and couldn't get out and died there.
Yeah.
And then when I started noticing all these open manholes in the city of Windhoek, I saw not all of them are relatively shallow. Some are very shallow, only 500 millimeters, half a meter.
Some
of them are more than 2 meters deep.
Yes, I've come across some that
are
really
deep.
Now, you
can imagine if a grown-up person falls into that hole, he'll be in trouble. He will break his leg or something if he falls down that far.
Yeah.
Now, what about a child? Huh?
Mm.
If a child falls into that hole, it's bad news for that child.
Mm.
And if you look at those that I see regularly, they're all filled with rubbish.
Yes.
And not all of them have dead cats in there.
Yeah.
But they are really filthy.
They're filthy.
Filthy.
Yeah.
Now, you imagine a child, a small child, let's say not older than 4 or 5 years, falls into one of those, and he tries to get out, and he's busy in all that rubbish, he's going to get sick.
Mm.
And if it is a manhole for a sewerage system where there's water or sludge in, he can also drown.
He can also drown.
You know, so this is very serious, and I started thinking. And if it was one or two isolated cases, you can call the municipality, or you can say, maybe it's just an oversight.
Yeah.
Next week they'll put the lid back on.
Yeah.
But the scary part, Mashan,
is
as I started walking more and more and more over the city, and further and further and further, I started noticing more and more open manholes, and I'm challenging anybody at City of Windhoek to come prove me wrong. What I've seen so far must be close to about 25 open manholes. Various sizes, various depths, but some of them going down 2.5 meters.
Mm.
And I'm telling you, this is a hazard.
It is.
It's a public hazard.
Yeah.
And unless somebody who is responsible for maintenance at City of Windhoek starts taking that very seriously, at some point we are going to have an accident. It's like an accident waiting to happen.
Yeah, it's bound to happen.
And it's not necessarily going to involve a strong, fit man. It can involve a woman who's too weak to come out there, or a child that hurts himself when falling down there, or an elderly person that cannot get out of it.
Mm.
So this is what, to give you an idea, we are not only concerned about the government's money and the economy and the country's money and business.
Mm.
We are also concerned about stuff that makes a decent life possible in whichever town in Namibia you're talking about, so that somebody who notices something like this actually have access to the right medium to make it public knowledge.
Yes.
And this is where The Economist and Radio Energy come into it, so that everybody can start noticing how many open manholes there are in the city of Windhoek. And if this message goes further, they can also start seeing if the same thing is happening in Swakop or Walfish or Kahanya or wherever.
There we go. I really needed to hear that in order to sort of like get the idea of what an economic analyst such as yourself, how do I put it?
That is also concerned about open manholes.
That is concerned about open manholes. You wouldn't actually think that the typical economist actually thinks about something like that, but it's pretty interesting.
Well, a typical economist doesn't walk around in the city. It's
also true, also true. Of course, unless you are Daniel Steinman. All right, awesome stuff. It is your Power Station Energy 100 FM. We will be returning shortly just to close it off. Stick around.